the awakening, as said the goddess Ishtar, seeking her dead lover Tammuz, I shall awaken the dead. I wish to share a sense of extraordinary happenings, all unexpected, that came to me from the 17th of July to the 20th of August in the year 2010. I had only a vague idea of what was happening. These did not involve high spiritual attainment, but involved the honouring of the forgotten dead, the rejected, the despised, and bringing them to life as our fellows, forgotten parts of our own selves. Time resolves it into itself as the coils of a spiral. Like a clock face of no hands, all our yesterdays are here, awaiting recognition. We may not grow without acknowledging our roots. On the day of our festival, the 17th of July, I had only a vague idea of what to do. I had no idea why I'd chosen the 17th, as a date in August would have been more suitable. It was only some weeks later I learned that this date in the Mayan calendar is marked consciousness convergence, following the earlier planetary convergence. I accept the Mayan calendar because I had a vision of the goddess Maya in the 1950s, a copper-coloured woman right across the sky, a greater being. The movement from the old to the new world thus was to begin then, gaining its strength before the galactic convergence in 2012. What came to me for our rite was to recreate the awakening of Osiris by Isis as an Opet on the 23rd for our needs. Why not awaken Angus Oak, our Gaelic god of love and joy? Why must it always be Osiris? We certainly need it now. My intention was for every single participant in our ceremony to have a voice. Each would be asked to explain why they wished to revive the god of love and joy. We accept the opposition, so there was to be an enforcer of law and order, whose role was to blindfold the god to prevent his receiving or giving any new ideas of any sort. In all my adventures, I noticed that the chosen place used was a part of the experience. Unexpectedly, we rededicated our old abbey ruin as priory of the Noble Order of Tara, and a Grand Knight Commander undertook the role of Angus. What really happened was that the descent of the god brought by the goddess Tara was experienced by the knight and enjoyed by those present. They had voiced their genuine need for him, including the end of institutional abuse of children. We need men to stop this as well. After all, they can be little boys. The god was needed. His presence was felt. I was much struck by all this, but thought it was over. Through Tara and Angus, we had brought hope and help to so many from spirit world who had died in Ireland, unwanted, rejected by society. And always happened in the past under British rule and under Irish rule. They were also abused, it was clerical abuse. So they seemed to be very yin rather than yang, pushed around. The goddesses and gods of their ancestors were alive but ignored. Angus had been awakened by a priestess representing the goddess Tara of the Tusa de Dana, the deities of ancient Ireland, were still alive. And Tara is the star of all sacred mounds and hills. So I thought that was it, really, and I still had to know about the Mayan business, that the things were changing. But a more amazing happening began in London when, on the morning of the 22nd of July, my hostess Caroline said, "It suddenly happened." Again, to the Boot and Flogger pub in the East End to visit the Crossbones ceremony. Cemetery. She explained that the Diocese of Southwark has within at its very foundations of a great Isis temple on the banks of the Isis River, now called the Thames. I've seen an old map, but they call the Isis where the Thames is now. On our journey by underground to the East End with her husband, Michael, she explained further, a brilliant poet and actor, John Constable, has saved the graveyard from destruction by the railway. The cemetery was used for the bodies of Winchester geese. Geese, I said? Oh, yep, prostitutes, paupers, unbaptized babies, and suicides, those sort of people, who were dumped there in unconsecrated ground, a sort of mix-up of prostitutes and the poor and unwanted, including babies and suicides. It was only closed down in 1853. John is holding a ceremony honoring Isis Magdalene at Opet. We are to bring ribbons to tie to the great iron gates of the cemetery. Then, to her consternation in the railway, in the train, she suddenly realized we had come a day too early. It was the 22nd of July, the festival of Mary Magdalene herself. We would then do our own rite. To enter the territory of Shakespeare, to pass Little Dorrit Cottages and Quilpin Road, was to enter Dickens' Love. There was a rebuilt Globe Theatre by an American actor, not, I fear, by us. The gates themselves, elaborate ironwork, had pathetic ribbons and other items, including a doll tied to them. They were marked Mary Jones, infant 3 months, John Billings, Waterman, and so forth. The family still remembered these poor people. For a child who died unbaptized, or other people who, like prostitutes, had been rejected by the church, here was their resting place, a rubbish pit. I felt enthusiastic on their behalf. I conducted a ceremony as priestess of Isis, reconsecrating the ground in her name, the divine Isis Magdalene, Mother Mary, whose name you choose. Well, I did it with Caroline, and doubtless invisible spirits, especially the ones who'd been buried there. I shook the system. Unexpectedly, John Constable passed by and joined us. Fortunately, Caroline's camera just held up with a waning battery. This would be for the computer web. I began to think the web was really very, very useful. But I knew that the inner spiritual web was alive anyway. There's so many spirits wishing to join us. Awaken yourself, and you help others to awaken. We continued the process we had begun in Caroline's temple garden. We performed the awakening of Merlin by the goddess Ellen, and Merlin promised to restore forests. But the strangest awakening took place in Richmond, a very respectable place, on the following Sunday, when my niece Cressida and her husband Bob helped to launch the model ship of Isis upstream in the Thames, Isis. In full mummer's guise, they honoured all those who would be transported across the sea to Australia. To interested bystanders, they sang a folk song of an emigrant who sang that he would miss his country, Ireland, less than his comrades and his beloved sweetheart, Polly. Standing with my niece near a long barrow in Winchcombe, Gloucestershire, where we travelled off to London, we had a ceremony on the 26th in which we apologised to annoyed former Neolithic spirit residents who strongly objected to an archaeologist who had taken away bits of their home and their bones. We apologised, and they appeared to wish to join our adventure. They insisted we crouch in one of their burial chambers along with its former residence. That's creepy, but it wasn't. It was a friendly, cosy gathering. At the Goddess Conference in Glastonbury, in a hall of a few hundred people, I broke the dreadful news. The God of Love himself had been caught up in his own computer. Oh, he'd been microchipped. Our Isis priest, Stephen, gave a harrowing account of his suffering as a computer head, and all these statistics and figures and pressing little buttons and the lot. He was absolutely bemused and miserable. But rescue was at hand. My collaborator, whenever I go to Glastonbury, now appeared, Julie, as Venus. She brought him to life, and we all processed round the hall to the drumbeats of our chant. Love is the heartbeat of the universe. the culmination happening for FOI members was at our gathering, our own gathering on the 2nd of August, to awaken the Archangel Michael, sent to a death sleep by this character, the dogmatic enforcer of structured religion. A strange transformation took place. As our priest awakened as the reborn Archangel, he changed dramatically. He gave an oracle. Michael explained that we should not kill. He had never killed any dragons. His sword of life was a beam of divine energy, awakening the dragon of the earth herself, Lilith. I thought that this string of happenings had ended on my return to Ireland, awakening the god by the goddess. But on the 20th of August, the same pattern followed, again totally unexpectedly. I had chosen the date, the 20th of August, for some of our members to visit a group of druids, requesting a ceremony in honour of the goddess Donna, mother of all, and Lugh, Gaelic god of light, who had a mound. I shan't tell where, as the land contains a vortex. There were castles and church ruins and a medieval graveyard, all in a very small space. I had surely been guided to invoke Donna, for she came amidst birdsong and the scent of wild flowers. When she came to me in 1952, she brought a pure happiness that is unlike any other. Our hostess, a druid, felt this happiness to be above all others in her life that came then. But those who suffer were not forgotten. But Donna awakened her divine son, Lugh, with his light. Ah, but one of our members of the druid clan of Donna has a gift for soul rescue work. At the end of our visit, she became aware of all those souls entrapped in the past of those towering, formidable ruins in a gigantic graveyard, or rather a graveyard of gigantic stones. She was able to lead them into divine light. Say, Bish, with us all.